All right, guys, it's the Masters of Motion podcast. This is episode 62, Rick, and we are through quarterfinals. This is our quarterfinal recap episode. That was our weekend. How'd it go for you? Actually, let's talk results first. Just how are you? Are you going on? Are you moving on?
I'm moving on. Pending video review, nice. As we always like to say.
Yep.
First of all, anybody who's listening, are they disappointed it's just us two again? We do have guests coming. We have a lot of fun stuff lined up, but in the spirit of the competition weekend, the preview last week, the wrap up recap now, and this is a pretty happened in the last 24 hours. This is a lot of material hasn't even been digested yet. Like that because they haven't been uploaded here for more than a few hours, so. Moving on, pending a video review. Thankful to say that. How about you? Did you squeak by?
Well, I squeaked in. Grateful to have squeaked in, and honestly, always feel like whenever I'm doing the workouts, I'm at risk. It's just what I feel. I'm at risk. Yep. It's like when you play poker and you go all in with a good hand, pocket queens, pocket kings, you go all in. And the guy on the other side of the table doesn't turn his cards over. You see a flop, a turn, and a river. You just don't know until he turns his hand over. And, you know, he had pocket jacks, he had pocket queens, and you made it. But a blind leaderboard like that always makes me nervous.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So I'm just as human as everyone else. And when I went to bed last night and the leaderboard wasn't updated, I did wake up to use the restroom in the middle of the night. You did too. We both checked our phone in the middle of the night because we're obsessive weirdos, and it wasn't updated. Woke up this morning, I happened to check
truly
first thing.
Disappointed. It was like 2:20 like, something in the middle of the night,
right?
And I laid back down, and I'm like, I'm super tired. I'm going to go back to sleep. There's no problem with that, but I'm disappointed that I saw that same stupid error message on there. Then I got up this morning and thinking it'll flipped over. Nothing. So look, I get nervous. I get more nervous, I think, than you do. I'm not in the position that you are. Haven't been in a long time. That's okay. I'm working hard. I'm trying my best. I'm trying to execute. But, you know, starting some of those workouts, I was like, oh, this is not going to go well. There's a lot of pipe hitters in my division. I don't care who's sitting out this year or not. I mean, I look at those names. I'm like, how am I going to handle myself against these guys until you just, you know, throw your chips in and see.
Yep.
Push your chips in, you should say, and see what.
Yeah, you push your chips in. You could throw them in. It's either way. You know, it's okay to aggressively throw your chips in at a poker table and see where it lands. While you were talking about us having a guest next week, I did just receive a message from Mr. Sam Dancer, and he is confirmed to do a show with us next week. So next week, we can plan on having Sam Dancer, one of the kindest, sweetest human beings in the CrossFit space, despite being a monster of a human being in person. So that's exciting. We'll have him next week.
Yep. Fresh off very solid finish, it looks like. I'm just looking at the leaderboard.
Yeah.
I haven't even looked at 35 to 39 yet. Looks like fifth overall right now with a win on event one and workout one.
Yep.
And a second place, a absolutely ridiculous 29 reps at 245.
Wow. That's crazy. That's his jam. I mean, he can move some weight, but wow.
And look, and who won that was that Olenkowitz, Bronislaw Olenkowitz, who I know has been to the games a number of times on the elite side.
Sure.
And he's just crazy lifting strong 60. So 31 reps at 245.
Oh, my God. I remember when I was putting in my score for that workout, you know, I was trying to figure out, you always just have that panic mode when you're putting in your scores. And I couldn't remember how many cleans did we do before the heavy weight. And for whatever reason, I could not figure it out. I was sitting in my car, entering the score. I'm like, okay, so did we do 30 reps or 40 reps? Let's see, we did 10 here, 10 here, 10 here. And then it was 245. Is that right? And then I took the screenshot. I sent it to you via text message to verify, like, this is my score, right? And then you sent it back because I just had that weird feeling, like, what if I just input the wrong score and I don't want to have to deal with having to correct a score? So anyway, you know, it looks, pending, of course, video review, you're sitting in a great spot, Rick. I'm sitting in a great spot. I refreshed my screen this afternoon after everyone said that, it's back live. And I was very surprised and thankful to see, nearly at the top of the leaderboard. And I did a post on Instagram after that, because I was 2 points shy of winning quarterfinals, mm-hmm. which doesn't matter. In my competitive brain, I want to win everything, but it doesn't matter. I've only won quarterfinals one other time, so it right. doesn't matter. But it was one clean and jerk. It's all I needed. One or two burpees.
Did you have it's time crazy. For the clean and jerk at the end?
I'll tell you what I did. Let's go through the workouts and I'll tell you where I made mistakes.
Absolutely. Okay.
And sure. so I could say, yes, another rep was possible. And two more reps on the burpees were not possible given my execution of that workout. But let's jump. Let's okay. get to that. Why don't we recap the workouts?
Overarching theme, though, I would like to say thank you to CrossFit, though, for the extended time. I think that helped probably more than it hurt people this past weekend. So Wednesday through Monday, given the time zones and things like that, depending where you were at, whether you're Europe or Hawaii or 48. That was sure. nice. However, if you're going to give us that much time, give us more workouts, please. Give us more scores, more things to do.
Sure.
I think it becomes the density of the competition helps people. It leaves everybody sore, everybody scrambling, but it's a competition. It's not a weekend of training. It is a weekend of competition. So, I hope the time frame is the same setup for semifinals. I sure hope there's more than four. That's, I haven't heard any leaks or anything like that. I don't know if you have, but that's just my opinion.
Nothing. Good. Now, so the workouts were released Wednesday. Of course, we did a podcast that night. Then tell me about your schedule of how you got through the workouts last week. What was the schedule for you?
One on Wednesday. Four on Thursday, number four on Thursday, I should say. I didn't do four of them. Number four on Thursday, number two on Friday, redid number one on Saturday, and I'll talk about the reason why, and then number three on Sunday. So Got Monday, yep. I jumped right back into regularly scheduled programming.
Yep.
Only because of the quick turnaround. Normally, I would just say, let's just go for a nice walk and call it that, quits.
But yeah.
The volume wasn't big over the 4 days there. It was the intensity that left me
of course.
Nice and sore. How about you? What was your schedule?
Yep. Yeah, Wednesday, I worked. I did a lot of behind-the-scenes work. Mm-hmm. Thursday, I hit workout two. I thought that there would be more of a pushing challenge between workout two and workout three. So I chose to do two on Thursday, one on Friday, three on Saturday, and then four on Sunday. And it mm-hmm. also gave me a big gap between two and four. If I could have done workout two last, completely last, that would have been my best plan. Because it was actually the most taxing of the workouts, I think. I was probably more sore from that than anything else.
Yep.
But I didn't, once 3-2-1 go happens, I didn't feel beat up from workout two when I did workout one the next day. And I didn't feel beat up at all on Saturday or beat up at all on Sunday. I just felt a little bit sore in my quads, but nothing really messed me up. I could see that it made sense for some people to hit the weightlifting first, maybe at their freshest, if that was maybe.
Absolutely. That was a
challenge for them.
Theme going around. Yeah.
Yep.
Yep.
For some, they did workout three first. Maybe that was they wanted to be freshest going into that gymnastic style workout. Mm-hmm. So I think there were some arguments to be made in just about every conceivable
pattern,
and that's fine. Yep. In the end, yes, it did make that big of a deal for me, but it could make a big deal for some that were just really riding the edge of their capacity, or maybe running into some weaknesses given the programming.
Mm-hmm. I think this is fair. So we know our orders. I had a retest. You did not. But do you want to talk about what worked and what didn't work for you for number one?
Sure. Yeah, for number one, of course, I did this on day two. In my mind, Thursday was day one, Friday is day two. And I was actually a little bit upset about my effort from event number two when I was going into the next day to do event number one. So I'm just going to preface it with I was salty about how I did workout two. Now I'm approaching workout one, and I know my strategy. You and I talked about it quite a bit, and it was easy on the snatches. I can mess myself up on the snatches, but I don't gain a ton by doing too many snatches. So I worked through the math in my head. I had a target of, you know, trying to get over 200 reps. At that point, I had not watched the elite athletes do it. I hadn't watched the Sivan podcast or Dallin and Jason Hopper, seeing those guys get 260. May have actually messed up my head a little bit. So I just thought to myself, you know, I can hit
probably best not
25 calories. Yeah, I know myself.
Oh.
I know I can hit 25 calories on the rower consistently, even with a decent amount of fatigue. I can hit 25 calories. So, okay, let me see if I can work with that. How do I get another 25 reps? So I went like, I go nine snatches and what is that? 16 step ups. That would give me 50 reps, or I could go seven snatches, 27 calories, 16 step ups. I wasn't sure if I was going to be able to get more than 16 step ups in that time frame. And so I had this general feeling that I'm going to try to go nine snatches, 25 cals, 16 step ups. That gets me 25 reps per round. That's my game plan. 3, 2, 1, go. The first round, the snatches felt super slow for me. Very controlled, very paced. Got on the rower at about the 50-second mark. So at 45 seconds, I was already getting over to the rower to get settled in so I could just rip it and go. And got myself 25 calories. Fairly easy in the first round, in the early rounds. And it got a little bit harder in the latter rounds. But the box step-up surprised me. I felt it. When I got to the box step-ups, first round, of course, I'm looking right at a clock when I'm stepping up. And I found myself, you know, at the 8-rep mark. Because I'm going for 16 in my head, but I'm at 8 step ups and I'm at like 22 seconds. I'm like, oh, okay, I'm gonna have some extra time here. All right, let's see. So I conservatively stopped at 18 on that first round, then rested. And I ended up holding that exact same pattern, 9:25, 18, 9:25, 18, 9:25, 18. The last round, I was a little tired. I went 7 snatches, 25 cals. And then I wanted to push the step ups to try to make up for the deficit. In that pattern on the snatches. And I got 19 instead of, I wanted 20, but I got 19 on the step up. So what that gave me was a 207. I felt really good about the effort because I executed it exactly the way I wanted to. And I always feel like that's a win. Whether my score was amazing or not amazing, I executed exactly the way I planned. And I hit my capacity. I did what I knew I could do. And maybe I could have squeaked out one or two more reps here or there, somewhere in there. But there's guys that are just going to have kind of so specialist abilities in that workout and they can win. That's fine. I am 5'8", 200 pounds. These are the parameters I'm working with. And I felt like I executed great.
Right.
And that is the most rewarding part of that, about that workout for me. Just, I had a plan. I nailed the plan. I succeeded the plan by just a little bit. And felt great afterwards. So that was event one for me.
I like that. It can translate over into other sports. I mean, if you're a long distance runner and you have a goal for a race and you are going to hold a certain minute per mile pace, doesn't necessarily matter where you might place in the race, but did you beat your time because you held your pace? Or, you know, even team sports, you know, were you, you know, a goalie in soccer and, you know, hey, you're able to have a shutout, you know, block every shot.
Right.
Now, did your team win or did you have a 0-0 draw? I mean, you know, you can't control that, but what you can
control those are fine, but
is that, you know, little parameter. Win. Yeah. The personal wins around there. So
yes,
I like that. I went into event one, on Wednesday, and it was the best CrossFit workout ever. And I just gripped it. I did not think about anything because I had never done a workout like that before. No, I did not go in with that good of a plan. And the snatches felt way too easy, to the embarrassing amount I think I've texted a few people and I know I've told you, I think I did 24 snatches in the first two rounds. Like, I'm not a big guy. I'm not a fantastic cycler of a bar. What in God's name was I doing that? Because it blew me on the row. And then that point, my grip was gone. It wasn't that my legs were toast from the step ups. I could barely hold on and I was sucking wind. So that was a lesson. That was a humiliating lesson to learn. But, you know, in a competition weekend, I had to take my medicine, try and learn a little bit about it, but then wipe the slate clean and go right into workout. To the next day, or well, I did the lifting the next day. The second workout is I had to wipe the slate clean of that bad taste in my mouth, not stew over it too much. But given that it's not a true live competition where you can learn, and if you have time to retest, you know, you make that call. I know you can't do it on a competition floor. We know the differences, but here the opportunities afforded, and I'm glad I retested because we'll get to that. So
yeah,
that was my experience with number one.
Okay. Well, with that in mind, my experience with workout two was similar. Mm-hmm. I went into it as if it was my first CrossFit workout, right? Like, I know better. See? In fact, I created a YouTube video the day before with, you know, with pacing and strategy on that workout. You know, you're not going to win the first round of 50 burpees and 50 wall balls, certainly, but it sure can mess you up. And that's what I did. So I broke up the wall balls. I felt good about that. You know, really no big deal. They felt good, but the burpees felt good, Rick, kind of like your snatches. The burpees felt good. So I just kept a really solid pace. I finished that first round. I glanced at the clock and thought to myself, ooh, I'm going real fast here. Let's see. This is like I'm going to finish in 17 minutes pace right now.
Oh, wow.
And I get to the wall balls and I'm
See, what was I'm your hurting. Clock after first round? Do you remember?
Oh, I want to say it was like, I mean, it was sub
17
six.
17 minute pace. Well, yeah. Oh my gosh. See, I sub was a little six. Over.
Yeah,
I was
no,
a little
it was
over
a huge
seven.
Mistake.
And I all I have to do is multiply that by three. And I'm like, I'm not finishing this thing.
Yeah, you knew you weren't finishing. I was like, okay. And I was justifying it in my head. I was like, okay, I was a little fast on the first round. Maybe I'll be that 6 minute pace on the second round. And the third round, I'll just hang on and finish this workout. Mm-hmm. Well, my heart rate was through the roof. And I do a lot of wall balls. I'm good at wall balls. I can do high rep wall balls. I went sets of 10 on round two, which was fine. Mm-hmm. Wasn't exploding, got to the burpees and was dying. I probably took two breaks on the burpees in the second round where like I stopped doing burpees. And all you have to do is just keep moving on a burpee.
Just fall
and I
down,
stopped and
kind of
stood there. I didn't even fall down. I just stood there. Took a couple of breaths. And my judge is another training partner. You know, he's just like, I've never seen you suffer like that. And I was like, I suffer. So anyway, I get to round three, same thing. I look at the clock as I get back to burpees and I know that I can't finish. I'm in the time cap. And so I'm just going to try to get as many burpees as I can. And every single burpee was a battle, gasping for air, lay on the floor afterwards. I just destroyed, absolutely destroyed Rick with 291 reps. And if it wasn't such a costly workout to, you know, my central nervous system, my overall body, I would absolutely have repeated in the same way that I repeated the deadlift and rowing workout from the Open this year. The first time I did it, I went out too hot, and I got burned. If I was to repeat workout two, I would have gone 7 minute pace, maybe 6 minute pace, 6.5, 7 minute pace on the first round. Try to really keep it calm and keep my heart rate under control, which is going to allow me to move at a consistent pace in round two and round three and not just absolutely implode on myself in a ball of destruction as I did. And I know better. I take that. I'm like, okay, one more lesson, one more. I just needed to learn one more time that going out hot is never the winning strategy. But it was, you know, I wasn't mad about my score. It's not a bad score. I was mad about my execution. You know, like you just like, okay,
absolutely.
I knew better.
Yeah.
So you get mad, you know?
Well,
so that was one and done for me, but not happy.
Yeah. Well, that second workout was the third one I did on the third day of competition. And by that time, through social media, through talking to people, I had heard how devastating it was. And I can't remember it's been a while that I was that nervous going into a workout. Like it's not that I don't mind wall balls or I can do burpee box jump overs. It's that combination. I was like, I really don't want to hurt that bad because there's not one person that had a good thing to say about that. So maybe, you
not
know,
one
my,
person.
My pace was slower and just methodically worked through it. It still left a mark. I know at the end of my video, I'm just gasping on the rolling on the ground. And I yelled over to my judge. I was like, can you shut the clock off? Just hit the stop button. I'm not coming over there. I'm not doing it. And I always makes me nervous. Like I always want to turn the clock off.
Always.
Or turn it on the timer. I just, if somebody makes a mistake, I want it to be on me. But at this point I was like, can you please just turn it off? I can't move right now. It was all about pacing. I mean, hats off to a lot of those athletes, male and female, that were able to finish it. They released it. You saw when it came up and you started to do the math in your head. It wasn't just the 150 wall balls because we can get through those. It was the burpee box jump overs and the whole lateral, I don't know. I heard it explained. You just kind of, they gave you options. As long as you were touching chest to floor, jumping up, stepping down, doing the same thing on the other side, you're going to be fine. I mean, I don't think it's that difficult.
Did you do box facing? Did you do lateral? Did you do kind of an angle?
45 degrees. Yep.
45
kind
degrees.
Of 45 I degrees to too. The I box. And I put chalk marks down on the floor so I could just aim for my hands, splotch each time and just went down. Yeah. I mean, it was, and then by that time, the sweat had gotten all over the chalk and it was just a disaster.
I was in such a position where I finished the workout. I'm laying on my back and I went with two other athletes at the same time, my training partners. And oftentimes we'll all be on our backs on the ground and, we'll all congregate around one person who's still on the floor. Mm-hmm. And they both came to me because I mean, it was 10 minutes before I moved. I was just laying there. So I'm still laying on my back and they're sort of sitting next to me and I'm talking with everyone. And I eventually get up and it's just drenched under my head, my back. Mm-hmm. It's just a massacre. You start off a workout. I think you start off with event one and not feeling very good about it. I start off with event two, not feeling very good about it. Mm-hmm. And that's not the way I think either one of us want to enter a competition, but we've done this enough to know that like, you sometimes you just got to just close the door. You did retest one, but you close the door on that effort. Move on because there's plenty more to do and we've got a job to do. So you did, I know that before you did event two, you did event four. You want to talk about your effort on event four or should we do event and then three and then four, whatever you want to do? Okay.
We could talk four. Just kind of, I guess we're going in the order of our weekend here and that's fine.
Yeah, sounds good.
It very similar. I think you brought up the note that it was similar to the fact that it was the exact weights of the 2022 semifinal snatch ladder for the younger age groups. And I remember your age group, particularly the raw number of scores were in the 30s. Like if that meant you were getting just a couple of snatches at 245. I haven't looked at our leaderboard too close, but I just knew, even though it was a clean and jerk ladder, and thank goodness it wasn't a snatch ladder for everybody. Knowing where my limits were, if I were going to be able to get to the 245 bar and have an attempt, that was going to be fine. That's what I could do. You hear Rich Froning say, go singles on everything. It's not worth going touch and go. I'm sure some people did. But if Rich is going to say that on a video, I'm like, okay, it's good enough for me. 135, 185, 225 for me got very sticky. I actually missed the jerk twice on 225s. Finished that with in the eight and change mark. So that means I was starting at 9 and change after my minute break. Turned around, one attempt, locked out 245, dropped the bar, and I looked up at the clock and it was like 9:47 or something like that. And I was like,
done.
At that moment, I couldn't remember if they said, could you start a lift and finish it after? Does it count? Sometimes that's happened in competition. At that point, I was so tired. I was like, boy, I did one. Big deal. Okay. It was good. It was good for me. Yeah. I knew I was not going to be super, super competitive on that, but I wanted to get to that bar. And that was more of a personal challenge for me. Check the box. I didn't have a whole lot of, yeah, I got it. And I didn't have a lot of regrets. It's certainly nothing that I said, I need to go retest it. Try it again. I didn't think one rep was going to make a huge difference on the leaderboard for me personally. I was like, that's what I can lift. So I was fine.
Yep. I think that's, I mean, it's fun. You had your win, you called your shot internally, yeah. and you hit it. And in your age group, I don't know what you ranked in that particular workout, but any reps, any additional reps at 245 in your age group was a correct. Big, big jump.
Huge.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. The unofficial winner right now, and I'm not even sure of this, well, maybe, is 12 reps there at 245.
Okay.
But a lot of folks are clustered around 7 and 8. That was like second and third place, fourth, fifth, sixth. Yeah, but depending on your tie break. So to get one and your leaders were 7 and 8, yeah, that's
yes,
what I expected.
Yep. For me, event 4 was one that I had meticulously planned out, like timing-wise, how I'm going to get through this. I knew that this was going to be like single drops for sure. I brought my dead stop plates in from home, so it wasn't going to be chasing and bouncing barbell all over the place. So yeah, I knew that it would take me 30, 40 seconds to get through
right.
10 clean and jerks, and I finished at 39 seconds, I think. And then I knew it would take me, I planned on 90 seconds for the 185 pound bar plus a minute break. And then I planned 2 minutes for the 225 bar plus a minute break. I thought I'd be starting the 245 at like the 6.5 minute mark. And I had all those timestamps and it turns out I went through the 225 a little faster than I thought. So my tie break time at 225 was 4:59. So I was starting 245 at 5:59, just under 6 minutes. And then I estimated for myself, whoa. And this was a loose estimation. I thought I could do 4 clean and jerks at 245 a minute. I think I can hold 4 a minute. But I didn't expect to be having 4 minutes to do that. I thought I'd have more like 3 minutes plus maybe one extra rep, you know? But so I just went into it. I actually started my favorite song at the zero,
sure.
at the beginning of the workout. I started my favorite song. And at about the 6 minute part in this song, it's a song, Invincible by Tool. If you're a listener and you know the song, you know what happens at the 6 minute mark, and it's a banger. It sounds so good.
Yep.
And so I'm literally sitting there waiting to pick up the 245 pound bar, and that part of the song comes on, and this part of the song is about 4 minutes long. And I was like, I think Gina caught it on video. She's like, she was coming by with the camera. I was like, I can do this for 4 minutes.
Perfect timing.
With this song on, I can lift a house for 4 minutes. So anyway, 3, 2, 1, go. I hit one, and I've got a cadence going at every 15 seconds. And the first rep, I cleaned it, and I immediately jerked it. Like, you know, without the re-catch or anything like that, just clean and jerk. And it felt good. I was like, okay, if I can do that, that is a fast rep with very little time under tension. Let's see how that goes. So I did 4 rounds in a minute, or 4 in a minute, then I did 4 in another minute. And then in my, between the 8th and the 9th minute, there was one rep I didn't catch quite right, and I had to adjust and then do the jerk. And I needed more time to recover on that. It cost me recovery time. So I waited about 20 seconds or so before my next rep.
Interesting.
Put me behind in my 4 rep per minute rep scheme. And so now I'm in my final minute and I am getting 4 reps in that minute, but I lost one rep in the 8th minute or whatever, the second to last minute. So we talked earlier in this episode, could I have gotten one more rep?
Right, right.
Yes. If I didn't have that slight tactical error in that clean and jerk,
that's right.
that cost me some recovery time. So again, if I was to re-execute that, they would all have to be clean and jerk. I can sustain for a minute. I might even be able to do, you know, one every 13 seconds, as long as I don't hold that bar on my shoulders at all. It's got to come to the shoulders and then get overhead immediately. And I surprised myself at my capacity. I was not push jerking.
Yeah. Were you splitting them?
Rick, I was, yeah, I was, I don't know who, over my body to be able to do 245 pound clean and jerks, just clean and push jerk them. Because that is not a weight that I'm super comfortable with.
Yeah.
A 245 power clean.
Right.
You know, my max power clean is like 255, 260, 260 probably. So I'm not a great power cleaner. I just, the skillet was hot, felt good. The right song was playing, and I had mm-hmm. a target in my mind.
That's what works.
And it just worked. So, you know, they say the placebo effect is powerful. It's a real thing. And music can be a placebo effect inducer. And I took it. I felt good. My song was on, and mm-hmm. I finished that workout. I mean, I didn't lay on the floor. I was so excited about the amount of reps I got that I was very much enjoying some adrenaline. And for me, that was the final rep on Sunday. So it was great to do.
Right. So that's how you were finishing.
Yeah. So I was already, and I was coming off of a good score in workout three the day prior. So I was actually going into it feeling pretty good. So I think, you know, that's, now we'll go back to where you, to your order of events. And then afterwards I'll talk about event three. So back to you. What was next?
It was a retest of event one, and we don't need to belabor this point, but I just really slowed down the snatches, and I sandbagged the snatches. If one rep of snatch equals a rep, a calorie equals a step up, and the snatch took more energy, why would I do more? I just, you know, I learned. And between some texting with you, some other friends, and then the folks at the gym that held me accountable to the pacing that I needed to be at, thank you again very much. It was the third one I was doing, the third day of competition, and where it, you know, I didn't feel that. It was the fourth day, excuse me. So I was a little beat up legs-wise from all the wall balls. But you know what? It was just great to hold to a plan. I didn't hold 25 calories, but I held a much higher row pace than I did the first time. And an improvement really helped in that workout. And I think it made, after those first two scores were released Saturday night, it made me going into Sunday feeling a little bit better. I liked the movements in Sunday's workout, gave me a little bit of momentum, put me in a good frame of mind, and I could really attack the third workout.
Exactly. And why don't you talk about
the
third workout?
Sure. Yeah, I didn't finish, but holy hell were those muscle ups. I love ring muscle ups. You know that. It's well documented. I love them. I can't remember going into ring muscle ups and having them feel as hard as they were in this workout. I think I've heard that before from a number of people already. It was crazy how difficult the turnover was. You know, once I turned over, I could kip out and lock it out, but the turnover was murder. But, we've been working a lot in being upside down in your different handstand push-up progressions. Sure enough, you saw them all here. I just had to, you know, watch my pacing. And there was nothing that I thought I was going to fail at. And when I reached the rings with 4 minutes left, I thought, wow, there's a chance I might actually finish this. And then they were just the hardest 16 muscle-ups I think I've done. And I failed a couple. I was down to singles at the end. I was like, okay, you know what? It's the most I could have put out there. Happy with the effort because everything else executed fine. I just ran into muscle fatigue, just a brick wall at the end.
Yeah. And that was, I mean, you're right. Everyone said that. Hardest ring muscle ups we've ever done. And that was predictable. But it's one thing for someone to tell you that they will be mm-hmm. hard. And another thing, when you get there and you're just punched in the mm-hmm. face, like, it's actually hard to fathom how incredibly hard they actually were mm-hmm. when you got there. You know, I know your ring muscle capacity at the 2021 CrossFit Games, Rick. I remember there was a workout that opened with ring muscle ups. You went in the heat before mm-hmm. me, and
you
went 15.
Right. You had 20.
Yep, you went 15 unbroken, mm-hmm. and I had 20. And you came in as I was exiting, and you said, "Hey, I went 15 unbroken," and I was like, "Oh, okay, I guess I'm going unbroken on this workout." You know, you helped me win that workout because you went 15 unbroken. I was like, I guess unbroken.
If you want to lead, go unbroken. And when you get, and that was a time, that was a accumulation yep. of time workout. So the bigger lead you had at the beginning,
yes,
set you up for hitting the brick wall later.
And yeah. And I went for broke on that one and it was great. So I know your capacity. I know you can do 15 ring muscle ups. I know I can do 20, you know, when we're games
fresh
yeah. prepared and we're opening in a workout. But yeah, I did not do that in this workout. I felt weaker than I've ever felt there. So I realized, I had a pacing, you know, I had all my breakup strategy just fine. I was going to go unbroken on the kipping handstand pushups, break up the mm-hmm. toes to bar to keep the heart rate under control, break up the strict, break up the wall facing, rope climbs, had a cadence on that that was pretty comfortable. And even with all of that, got to the rings and went, my plan was actually 3-3 and then 2, 7 sets of 2. That was my plan going into it. And I thought, you know, if I feel better than that, I could always add more mm-hmm. reps to my plan. And I did not feel better.
Nope.
I actually did that exact plan, but my second set of 3 was very high effort. And I was like, okay, well, I'm definitely never doing 3 again. And then every set of 2 was nearly yep. maximal effort, like just under max. And you're correct. It had nothing to do with the press out. So what I learned about that workout was that I broke up all the handstand pushups with the thought that I need to save my mm-hmm. pressing strength. And it was not a pressing workout. I feel like I could have shaved off 30 seconds of my time by going unbroken on all the pressing movements, but actually making sure that I keep a breakup strategy on my toes to bar to keep the mm-hmm. core
right.
less fatigued. And on rope climbs, I probably could have taken my foot off the accelerator a little bit in order to just keep that core fatigue down, because this was a core workout. When we got to the rings, it wasn't, we were just, I felt like a soggy
yep.
noodle on the rings. I did not
couldn't turn over.
The snap that I want to have is gone. No. And I think you absolutely. Said you missed some ring muscle ups, which that hasn't happened since 1982.
Yes, I know. I was 10 years old and I missed a ring muscle up back then. I know. It's pretty bad. No, I just, the owner of the...
You haven't missed a ring muscle up since
the owner of the gym came over and he's like, "I've known you for years, Rick. I've never seen you miss like that." And I'm like, "Yeah, it was ridiculous. It was hard."
And you get up there. I mean, I caught so deep on a couple of mm-hmm. mine that it was, I mean, you're borderline dangerous that you're just, you know, you could tear your arms off. I saw, you know, a good friend's post on Instagram, like he did a chicken wing where he actually shot through.
That's the danger zone.
That, you know, that
that's very that dangerous on the shoulder. Oh, I don't like thinking about that.
Always. So I got through. I felt like I was moving like molasses on the ring muscle ups. I got through. I had a decent score. I checked it. You know, I'm texting everybody that I know. And like, is this a good score? I don't even know. And it was a good score. There were definitely some
ninjas. Yep.
You know, ninjas yep. in every age group that can do some pretty astounding things. But I felt like I held my own on that. But again, hardest ring muscle ups I've ever done. And it made me think about training in the future. And it reminded me of the CrossFit Open 24.3 mm-hmm. with the thrusters yep. and the bar muscle ups. That was a really hard workout. And those bar mm-hmm. muscle ups got really, really tough. But I remember thinking afterwards, like my tricep, I wasn't like my pushing muscles, like, It was my core that was so, mm-hmm. so tired that it made bar muscle ups, which are super easy for guys like you and me, very difficult
right.
because the core was blown up. I think the same thing happened on this ring muscle up workout. It makes me think about training and how I want to be incorporating more fatigue building core movements prior to high level gymnastics, because CrossFit has definitely found
sure.
not a weakness yeah. there, but an exploit.
Yep.
Like, hey, you know how we can mess everyone up? we could destroy their core. And if you think about historical tests, we've had pistol squats, GHDs, rope climbs. And that just, the rope climbs were so hard because our core was so messed up in that workout. The individual athletes have had pistols, GHDs, and ring muscle-ups. That is destroying workout. And we could think about, you remember when we did 50 GHD sit-ups, 200 feet of handstand walking twice, and then bar muscle-ups?
Very difficult bar muscle-ups at that time.
And then do bar muscle-ups. Yep. And so that is, there was a, I want to say in 2020, we may have had a semifinals workout that had toes to bar.
It was the weekend before our gym shut down. Basically everybody's gym shut down that weekend. Yep. That AGOQ was that weekend in March of 2020. COVID. I remember that. And again, I thought it was a rep scheme that looked on paper like, oh, that's very doable. You put those two together and that didn't turn out well. But then again, that didn't matter because there were no games that year.
No. And I get it. It didn't matter. But now that we see these trends in qualifiers, you see this ability of whoever's programming to really have these challenging movement pairings that really complicate each other. And I mean, that's one of the things we love about CrossFit is that, you might do a bunch of wall balls and burpees, which totally mess each other up, right? Or, handstand pushups and power cleans.
Sure.
Well, I don't know. That one's not the best example, but they're great at this. They're great at creating complications that make easy things super difficult. I remember watching the Sivan podcast and seeing how challenging those guys were experiencing their ring muscle ups. Watching a guy like Dallin Pepper not finish one. His last rep, he couldn't press out, so he dropped.
He was going at a very different pace, and his things might have been completely taxed on him that weren't for us because of his pace. But overall, hey, we made it through healthy.
Yes.
Really proud to see so many people accomplish so much across all age groups. This quarterfinal season, you're just starting to scratch the surface with the number of videos you saw with wins, with PRs and clean and jerks, with muscle ups, handstand pushups, people finishing the second workout, people finishing two rounds of the second workout. Yeah. I mean, there were wins across the board. I think the Masters community represented itself well. I know we're not even finished with terms of scoring and leaderboard adjustment and the next stage, but we'll worry about that then. But they did a solid job of programming. I just wish the leaderboard was up. That's all. I mean, things happen.
I mean, and I will say, I heard, I don't have this confirmed, but I heard that Masters registrations for quarterfinals were very, very good. Kudos to the Masters community for showing up.
It's only going to help the games. Yep. It's only going to help, Baba Joe and Jason.
Right. 100%. Yep. Yep. Absolutely. I mean, their team, the more resources they have to create the games event, the better. And I know lots of people that have already booked their tickets and are planning to come out and watch. But for some of us, we're moving on to semifinals. We have 2 weeks of training. Honestly, Rick, we're recording this Tuesday night. And in 2 weeks, we'll be talking about the semifinal workouts. 2 weeks from tomorrow, we get those workouts. We'll be right into it. And then into a long, long season of preparation towards the games. Actually, a wonderfully long season that will allow us to back off and then rebuild into another competitive peak. For those athletes, as we just wrap this up, whose competition year ended with quarterfinals?
Okay. It is only end of April. And I think a lot of people look at their competition year by calendar years. We still have a lot of 2024 left. So to take some time and reflect back how you did in the open, what worked for you, what caused, maybe some sticking points. obviously, if you navigated your way through the Open well enough, you found your way to quarterfinals, you put your money down, you did these four workouts, you know, this past weekend. And I think, again, reflection time back on, you know, what went right, what didn't go right, you know, maybe make some plans again, talk to coaches or training partners, friends that you like to, you know, like to train with. Because there is a lot of 2024 left. And if you've done quarterfinals, you might have an inkling to try some other competition. Could be a larger national one. You know, there are plenty of opportunities out there. So don't think that the year is over. It just might not be moving on to semifinals. But we know there are qualifiers coming up for quite a few in the next 2 months or so like that. And then the fall, really late summer and early fall, really ramp up with opportunities across the country for a lot of people saying, hey, I really want to do a live competition. And I was hung up in this, you know, in these few movements, what do I need to do to get there? Or let me step my foot in the water and see what it feels like to be on a competition floor. I think a little reflection can really help set a good plan in place for the rest of the year.
I could not have said that's great. Ditto exactly what you said.
Well, that was perfect. We've got months left. The year is not over. It just might be done with the CrossFit part, HQ part.
Yeah.
How about that? Part.
Competitions that we have qualifiers for, or that we'll see in the summer. You know, there's Monster Games, which is in the summer. We've got MFC likely. There's Wodapalooza in the fall. There's there's the team's competition at the Masters Games, which as soon as we know more information, we'll share more on that. There's, of course, Legends Championship in the winter, in December.
There's a beach brawl fall, right? Yeah, there's a brawl in the fall. Regionally, there are so many. Yeah, so much to do. So, you know, I mean, you need to stay healthy. need to stay healthy.
I was going to say, if you need any advice, you know, if you need any tips or advice, I think that Rick and I both enjoy helping. And you always reach out to either one of us on social media. We're happy to help. We're happy to have those conversations because we've done all the competitions, you know, we've done a lot and we love this. And in the future, of course, we'll be answering any questions. So if you ever have questions for us on the show, we'd always love to have you share that question on YouTube, which is fine in the comments. You can message either one of us on social media. We'll save that. And if we have a question that we can answer on the show, we'll definitely bring those up in the show. We'll also have Sam Dancer on next week, which will be very, very fun.
Looking forward to it.
Then that's next week. Yeah, it's going to be Tuesday. Yeah, it's next week. We don't have semifinals next week.
Nope.
The following week, we'll talk about semifinals. And then we have some things coming up in May, which will be fun. All right. So,
enjoy.
All right.
Have a good night.
We'll see you next time.
Take care.
Thanks for tuning in to the Masters in Motion podcast. We'd be so grateful if you could take a moment to leave us a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts or your preferred podcast app. If you're watching on YouTube, subscribe to the channel. Your support helps us reach more listeners and grow our Masters community. Until next time, get bolder, not older.